This is MSO News Sports. I'm Bill Newell, and we are talking about Douglas 200, the celebration for Frederick Douglass in the city of Lynn, as it is going on around the country. We have a number of different people here to talk with us, but I'm going to introduce a couple of the co-chairs here for this event. I guess they're co-chairs, right? Julia Green. But Julia, why don't I start with you? Tell us who's here, and then we'll get into some of the specifics about what's going on, the background as to what this is, what's all happening here.
Okay, yeah. We have a committee called Lynn Douglas 200, and we formed in September of this year, and it was because of Douglas's birthday coming up. So today, the committee is much larger, but today we have five people here, and to my right is Roy Rhodes, and then Brenda Womack, and then we also have Wendy Joseph. I'm going around the table. We have Nicole McLean and also Tom Dalton. So those are some of our members. So I'm going to pass it to Wendy right now, because I'll let her tell you about why we formed the committee.
Thank you, Julia, and hello, Bill. I got a call from Julia at the beginning of September and said... She said, why don't we do this? I looked online and saw that this kind of celebration was happening all over the country. And because we are the social justice activists that we are, we didn't think too much about it and just went ahead and started reaching out and ended up meeting new friends and new people at this committee that Julia put together. We met at the Lynn Museum, and the idea was... There is so much history here in Lynn, as well as so many people doing great things all the time, that we would market all of these events that were being created specifically for this bicentennial birthday and market them together. So we have a lot of people who are doing their own things. They're marketed together, and we have become a committee of friends.
Well, let me bring Brenda and Roy into this here as we swing around here. So maybe share your stories and your involvement with this. First, Brenda. I think you'll be able to tell the difference from the two voices here, but we'll go with Brenda first.
Hi, this is Brenda Womack. My part in this is I was approached by one of my members from Zion Baptist Church, which I am a member of, asking if I would participate in this big event, the celebration, and highlighting Frederick Douglass' spiritual background. So Brother Roy Rose and I, Roy's from Bethel AME here in Lynn, we came together with an idea of highlighting parts of his history regarding his religion and trying to bring it forth so everyone in the city will understand the struggle back then, now, and the struggle that we still have in front of us.
It was a long journey when Brenna and I got together, and we said, what are we going to do? And we thought about a number of activities that we could have, since this is the last event of the celebration. It had to be something that would be climactic. Yes. And so we said, well, how about this? Suppose we have an event in which we're going to have singing and reading. Yes. And I said, well, that sounds pretty good. So what we're going to do is we're going to take all the bios of Fred Douglass, and we're going to come up with our own biography. And within that biography, we're going to have junctions, parts of his life. That is an example. When he was 6 or 7 years old and he was learning to read, and the master caught the master's wife teaching him how to read. That was just a junction point of his life. And so we're going to choose all these junctions as from the time that he remembers until he passes away around 1895. And so our goal is to bring together great readers, great singers, and just great minds, so that we will have an event that everyone will really appreciate all the time and effort that everyone has given for the last year. Thank you.
Wow, that's great. That's the most I've learned about that event too.
He just came up with it.
Yeah. It was good.
So now I was just thinking, like, if we step back, in a sense, I call this group, we're a bunch of Frederick Douglass groupies, really. And I knew that Tom, I had met Tom a little over a year ago, and I knew that he was writing a book about Douglass and Lynn. So that's when I also told him we were forming this committee to find out the great news that he was finishing his book. And so that was really exciting. So now I'm going to pass it to Tom, and maybe he can talk a little bit about his book and tell us about the April lecture and book signing that he'll be doing.
Thanks, Julia. Many years ago, 30 years ago, I think it was, I worked at the Lynn Item and covered the city of Lynn. And in that capacity, I ended up doing several stories on Frederick Douglass. And I actually helped, not really helped, but the Lynn Historical Society at that point got very involved with Douglass around 1995, which was the anniversary of his death. And I helped them a little bit with a monument they put up over on the Common. And but I knew that years later, it always bothered me. I knew a lot of the information we'd put out then, as hard as we tried, was a little inaccurate in places. And I read a lot of histories of Douglass and biographies, and they never really touched on Lynn. They never mentioned Lynn very much, and even Douglass in his books didn't mention Lynn much. So I thought, when I retired 2 years ago, it was always in the back of my head to try to do something on Douglass. So I started researching, and I decided I wanted to write a small book on Douglass's years in Lynn, trying to use exclusively primary sources. So I read probably a few hundred of his letters and letters by contemporaries. I read all his autobiographies and books by friends of his. But I also read, it took a while, but I read every issue of The Liberator, which was the abolition newspaper in Boston published by or edited by William Lloyd Garrison. I read every issue from 1841 when Douglass arrived in Lynn to 1848 when he left. And then I spent some time in the library reading. There are quite a few in the Lynn Library. There's quite a few old Lynn newspapers from the 1840s. So I read all of those on microfilm, and so as best I could, I kept almost a day by day diary for Douglass's life during the Lynn years, and I put together a book of about 100 pages with some photos and a map of Lynn sort of during Douglass's years here, and trying to show where he lived and some other key points. So that's all I'm trying to do. It's sort of a blank space in Douglass's life, and I've tried to, as best I can as a non-historian, former reporter, fill in those blank spaces. So.
Tom, I'm sure we're going to follow up on that in just a moment, but I want to bring Nicole in here for a moment. Maybe tell us about your involvement, how you got involved with this group as well.
Okay. I was approached by Wendy because we had a Juneteenth celebration last year. So she approached me and said, you know, we're having this celebration for Frederick Douglass. We're the Juneteenth committee. We put on the Juneteenth event. So she said, would you guys like to collaborate with us? And our job as the Lynn Juneteenth committee, our goal is to portray African American in a positive way. So, I mean, Frederick Douglass is an epitome of that positivity of African Americans. So we're on board. We're ready to make the Juneteenth event part of the birthday. So that's our contribution to the birthday.
Well, I'm going to go back to Tom here for a second. I want to follow up on a couple things you said, if I could here. So Tom, you mentioned researching letters. So I'm wondering how people will research this generation down the road from now, because what are they going to, quick little emails that we shoot back and forth to each other that are one sentence, one words, yup, yup, see ya, you know, who knows what they will be. But they won't be the letters were able to see. And I think you're selling yourself short now. You are a historian now, Tom. You have to be considered a historian, if you will. But if you were to look at his life, what What are several of the accomplishments that you kind of stand out just for our listeners here that may not be as familiar with Frederick Douglass?
Well, he came to Lynn when he was 23 years old and was hired as an agent or traveling lecturer by the Massachusetts Anti-Slavery Society. And in the years that he lived in Lynn, he became one of the best known and best public speakers anywhere. He spoke throughout New England. He traveled and spoke as far as Ohio and Indiana. He also, he's best known in Lynn because he, after speaking at so many different places, people, he kept hearing the same question. No one could believe he was an escaped slave because he was so articulate and so intelligent that people kept yelling things out during speeches and questioning and saying, there's no way this man could have been a slave. So Douglass finally retreated or went home to Lynn, to his home in Lynn, and spent the winter of 1844-45 writing his first autobiography, which is called Narrative of the Life of Frederick Douglass, an American Slave. And it is absolutely, to this day, an American classic. It's still taught in schools and colleges. But it was such a stunning work, because in it he named people in the South by, first off, he told his own name. His name was not Frederick Douglass, it's Frederick Bailey. So he told his own name, and here he is, a fugitive slave who's wanted. He talks of crimes committed by overseers and ministers and others in the South. So when he finished his book, people encouraged him, and he did. He fled to Great Britain for 20 months. He was over there lecturing and became an absolute superstar over there. Quakers over there organized and got money to buy his freedom. He comes back, and I'll just quickly, he goes to Rochester, New York, and starts his own newspaper, the North Star, which becomes the great black abolition newspaper for about 30 years. He, during the Civil War, he recruited soldiers for the Massachusetts 54th Regiment, which is the famous black fighting unit that was the subject of the movie Glory, starring Denzel Washington. And he also became someone who Abraham Lincoln, he met with Abraham Lincoln several times to advise him on black troops and how they weren't being paid enough, how they're being treated unfairly. And other Lincoln actually called him at least twice to come in and meet with him. He ends up in Washington, D.C., and Douglass was a campaigner for many Republicans. And so several presidents named him to big positions. He became U.S. Marshal for the District of Columbia, which was the highest position held to that point by an African-American. He became a Register of Deeds for the District of Columbia and other appointments. Plus, he continued to speak, and he was absolutely the most prominent, most important African-American of the 19th century. And he lived here in Lynn at the start of his career when he was 23 years old with a couple of children and a wife. So this place plays an amazing role in his life, because he actually transformed here from an unknown person to this worldwide celebrity in the 7 or 8 years he lived in Lynn. So Lynn has an important place in his history that really, and the story hasn't been told too often or too well. So we're trying to take care of that.
Oh yeah. Wendy?
Yeah.
Thank you. One of the things that he did here was he wrote his first autobiography while he was in Lynn. Not too many people know that. You look at the last page, and it is signed off Lynn, Mass. And because of that, his life was in great danger, because this first autobiography named names, including the slave masters, etc., and the people who helped him escape to freedom. So with the Hutchinson Family Singers who live in Lynn, they went on tour to England and Ireland, where in Ireland some abolitionists actually paid for his freedom. And the Hutchinson family and Frederick Douglass were very good friends. I'm reading the autobiography of John Hutchinson now. Mm-hmm. Talks about Freddie a lot. And then I'm going to throw it back to Brenda and Roy, because at the D.C. funeral, John Hutchinson, the last of the Hutchinson family singers, sang at Frederick Douglass's funeral in Washington.
Yeah.
And that was news to me. When I found this out, I asked Wendy if she would share with me.
Just tip it a little bit the other way.
To the top.
Perfect.
Yeah.
The song that was written for him, and just a couple of lines from the song, it says, lay him low, under the clover and under the snow. How we love him, no one knows, lay him low. You know, that is really touching. And for someone to be able to write a song just for you, even at your death, during your death, is just beyond us, you know. So he did mean a lot. What he put into all he was doing, his life was on the line at all times, just so everyone could be treated equal.
One of the things about him as a person is looking at some of the hardships. Some of the biographies tend to gloss over some of the hardships that he went through. And so we're hoping that the songs and the readings that we have on October 14th will highlight some of the sorrows, because some of the things that people don't understand is that that the slaves and the blacks of the Reconstruction and the early 20th century were all happy. Well, those songs were songs of sorrow, not songs of happiness. It seemed like they were happy, but those were songs of sorrow. And so one of the things that we're here to do is just to give you an idea of what it was truly like and what it was like to be Fred Douglas during the time from slavery until he passed away.
Oh, and I wanted to follow up on that because, you know, we talk about, well, what did Frederick Douglass do in Lynn? And so I'm passing around now his first ever recorded speech that actually was printed in a Pennsylvania newspaper. And we've been talking about this for a while, but we didn't actually have the actual speech at our meetings. So I just found it online and printed it out. But anyway, it's interesting with this speech because it's almost like a prequel to his narrative of his life, and there's some references. This is in a book. So it was printed in October 20th, 1841, and it's kind of a violent story. So we're getting ready for the birthday celebration at City Hall, and we'll have an actor there who's going to be Frederick Douglass reenactor, and the mayor of Lynn. We'll have a birthday cake, and we're having kids come from after-school programs to help him celebrate his birthday. And this is February 14th on Valentine's Day. Later in life, he found out that he was born in February, but he didn't know when, and he picked Valentine's Day as his birthday. And he found that out from the books or the ledgers at the plantation where he was born. So we celebrated on February 14th on Valentine's Day, and that's what we're doing here in Lynn at City Hall to kind of kick off the whole year and to really get a lot of kids involved too, so that they learn about his story. So we wanted to find this first speech, and we wanted him to give this speech at his birthday party. But when you read the speech, it's so violent still. I mean, slavery was so violent. And so there's a lot of violence inside the speech. So what we did was we kind of redacted it, because we're going to have very young children at this birthday party. And actually, thank God, Tom did that, and he did a great job of it. And so now we have kind of a small sampling of the speech, so the kids will get an idea of what he spoke about in his speeches and the people at City Hall. And they are still Frederick Douglass's words, because we didn't change the words.
Julia, you and I talked before on different topics, and one of the things we talked about, I'm going to do a digress here a bit, but was the Hutchinson Family Singers, which Wendy also noted. Just share that story with who these people were and what they did in the city of Lynn in that time period. The Hutchinson Family Singers.
Okay, yeah. So at that same time in 1841, the oldest brother, Jesse Hutchinson, had already moved to Lynn, and he had a stove store on Union Street. And then his brothers and sisters came down from New Hampshire and to join him. And they lived close to Frederick Douglass. And so they were all singers, and the Douglasses were musical, too. So they became good friends. But the Hutchinsons then, there was a minstrel group that came through from Austria, I think, a family of singers, kind of like the Von Trapp family from Sound of Music. And they were giving concerts all over the United States and making big money. And the Hutchinsons went to one of their concerts and they said, we could do this. And so then they formed their musical group. In fact, their two first concerts, one was up in New Hampshire where they're from, and then their second concert was in Lynn, and people actually paid them. And so then they went on the road, and they really became the first rock stars in the United States. And so then with Frederick Douglass, you know, he's out on the lecture circuit getting beat up, thrown off of trains. We can talk about what happens to him in Lynn. But anyway, they said, you know, music soothes the savage beast. And they said, we'll go out and we'll help him and we'll start singing these anti-slavery songs and we'll go to some of his things. And that went well. And then they were invited to the anti-slavery conventions to sing. And then they became a regular part of that. And then there's all kinds of things that they did. They even went down to, during the Civil War, they went behind the lines and were singing down there, and they got in trouble by a general for being too close to the action. But they were all over the place with him, and it's just a great story that they both rose to national prominence together and around the anti-slavery issue.
You want to pick up on any of that, Tom?
No, I think she did a great job. They also they became really close friends, you know. And in those days, even the abolitionists in Boston, this area, a lot of them were from very wealthy families and sort of the old Boston Brahmins. And there was actually a lot of racism among the abolitionists. And Douglass was not treated as an equal by many of them, and they felt very awkward with him. The Hutchinsons were the exception. When you see letters and you see things, Douglass would stay somewhere. They always invited him to stay with them. And in those days, I really think people shared beds. And there's these things about Judson slept with Frederick, and I slept with so-and-so. And they were farm boys, you know, and from New Hampshire. And it just strikes you, so down-to-earth, and became really close friends. And I think among all the people he knew, they were the ones he might have felt most comfortable with. There were stories about Douglass swinging by their farm in New Hampshire to see them, and they're always embracing and hugging. They really were very, very close, closer than I think he was to a lot of prominent abolitionists. So.
Julia, I know that the there's an event on the 14th, as you were referring to, but there are other events planned as well in the upcoming year. Maybe, and we can post dates and times later and so on all that, but maybe you want to share a note, or both you two, Wendy and Julia, on that.
Maybe Wendy first.
Yeah. I'm going to go on from what Julia and Tom were saying about the Hutchinsons and Frederick Douglass. On July 3rd, one of our events is a reading of a famous Frederick Douglass speech, and this will be the 8th annual reading. And where it takes place is at High Rock Tower Park, which used to be the Hutchinson family property, which was deeded to the city of Lynn in 1905. So it's a very beautiful space. And you can, when you go up there, you can look down and see the what's left of the Hutchinson family compound. And it's a site that Frederick Douglass very well may have been on or very close to. So as Julia, who was there from the beginning, it started off with just a reading of the speech, which was, this program was started by Mass Humanities. It was 20 people. It rained on us. We were all huddled under a blue tarp. And last year, there were at least 600 people. We have local vendors, showcasing all of our immigrant roots. We have local entertainment and poems and people that I nabbed from Juneteenth that were obviously very, very excellent entertainers. Face painting, balloon twisting, and the ward counselor pays for free pony rides for children up there. It's a whole scene that I think that Frederick Douglass and the Hutchinsons would be very happy with.
Great. And then also in February, there are a few other events. There's a whole film festival that the Minority Cultural Community Cultural Council, no, Community Minority Cultural Center. I don't know why I'm messing that up. I'm a little tired. Anyway, that is, and it's all February long, and then they're doing a Kwanzaa workshop, and they're also doing a discussion about the Black Panthers, and then they have all kinds of films too. So that's something to do. Then at North Shore Community College, they're actually reading the whole narrative of Frederick Douglass's life, and they're doing that on February 21st, I believe. I know, I should just mention them, but we'll have it up on the site that will give the exact dates. The Lynn Museum during school vacation week is doing a program around Frederick Douglass with children, and it's a family program. So that's happening. And then I think that's all of the February events. And then Tom, in April, is going to be doing his lecture and book signing for his Douglass and Lynn book. And that date is April 26th. We were trying to get it as close to the date of when Frederick Douglass had finished his narrative, which was April 28th. So that will be a great event at the Lynn Museum. And then I want to pass it to Nicole, and maybe a lot of people actually in this area don't know what Juneteenth is, so maybe you can talk about Juneteenth and the significance of that here.
Take it away.
Okay, so Juneteenth is a state holiday. It's actually a holiday in many states that recognizes the freedom of African Americans and African American achievement. So that's why it's so like appropriate to be connected with the Frederick Douglass birthday. So that's what Juneteenth is about. I mean, there were slaves in Galveston, Texas, that did not hear that they were free until 1865, and it was June 19th is what they're saying it was. We're not sure. So June and 19 paired together becomes Juneteenth. So that's what Juneteenth represents, that freedom of all African Americans, because Galveston, Texas, the slaves there did not realize they were free when the Emancipation Proclamation was signed in 1863. So 2 years after, they were still enslaved. And then a couple of soldiers came to Galveston, Texas, and announced and told them that they were free. And upon hearing that, they celebrated. So Juneteenth became that celebration.
Gotcha. Well, here's what I'm thinking here. Our time-wise, we're running low on time, but we do have time to go around one more time. So maybe what you want to do is just, if there's something that you want to conclude with or comment on, feel free. We don't have a time limit necessarily, but I know we do have a time limit here, you know, at some point down the road here. So I'll start with you, Wendy, and we'll work around to Brenda and so on and around to Roy. But if there's any loose ends that you guys want to wrap up, we'll pass it around here.
I think that I would like to chat briefly about the two reenactments that are going to be happening in September, which indeed goes back to Tom's issue of original source material. First, the Lynn protests the fugitive slave law. We have Lynn papers and Boston papers that show people's outrage about what was happening to their fellow friends. And we are going to be reenacting with some counselors, some church people on the steps of the city hall. And we're going to be reading from original sources on what people were saying about that. And when Frederick Douglass was ejected from the Lynn train on September 28th, we're going to reenact that event, and we're trying to get it very well done specifically from Lynn's sources. So there's going to be live action, and we're trying to make history real for people.
So all I want to add to this is that I am happy that the time was upon us for us to recognize who Frederick Douglass is, what he was, and who he is to us today. A lot of us don't know him, and even know that we do have a statue of him in the Lynn Commons. And you walk by every day, and you see it, but you don't know what you're looking at. Hopefully this will bring the recognition that is needed from this day forth.
I'm just thankful that we have a group of people here in the city that are willing to sit down, take time, research, develop, and bring this information to the people of Lynn and the North Shore. And I just look forward to working with these individuals.
Okay, I'm going to do a little bit of a shameless self-promotion, which is in October on the same on the same day as the spiritual gospel music celebration is an earlier tour at Pine Grove Cemetery, and it's called "Finding Frederick Douglass and the Out and the Lynn Abolitionists." It's on Sunday, October 14th, from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And what you'll learn on that is you'll learn a lot about Frederick Douglass, because these were, in fact, his friends in Lynn who are now buried there, and we can tell their stories of what they did in the anti-slavery movement and why Lynn was such an important place to the anti-slavery movement at that time.
The with apologies to every elected official and mayor in the city's history, I think a good case could be made that Frederick Douglass is the most important, most prominent person who's ever lived here. And at some point, Lynn will name a school for him or a street or give him the recognition he deserves. It really has been a forgotten piece of history here, and it's hard to emphasize just what an amazing human being he was. And hopefully the events this year will help bring some light on that.
There you go. I'm sorry. There you go.
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah.
I just want to say that I'm happy to see that African Americans and Frederick Douglass in general are being put forward and being seen more in the city. So I'm just very happy to be a part of that. So, and make sure you come down to Juneteenth, June 23rd, from 1 to 5 at the Lynn Common.
So it's at the Lynn Common you're
That's
talking
right.
about. Okay.
Right good. Around the Frederick Douglass bandstand.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, he's got a bandstand.
That's right. He has a bandstand and right by his statue.
No. And we get the Hutchinsons to sing there. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And I'm Bill Newell. We'll step aside. This is MSO News Sports.